Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. It was the 1700s, and John Newton was a nasty human being, deeply involved in the African slave trade. He was a ruthless businessman, and he was the master of a slave ship carrying individuals from Africa to the New Americas. He was a callous participant in the evils of slavery at the time. One could stand back and say that this man, Newton, was lost. Lost in a life purpose that was contrary to God's will. But our story does not end on that sad note. This man, John Newton, was also found by a life-changing grace. Claimed by a new purpose, his conversion led him to follow Christ and eventually become an Anglican priest, a witness to the horror of slave trade, and a major influence on other great abolitionists in America. John Newton would go on to write our much-beloved hymn entitled Amazing Grace, articulating that human struggle of being lost in the world without being found by really the all-encompassing grace of God. Lost, becoming found. Callous participant, finding Christian purpose. That's what we're talking about today. Now, to help us kind of bring that into modern times, a number of years ago, not too long ago, it took the entire nation by storm. A Purpose-Driven Life. Have you ever heard of it? Written by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church in California. It became a bestseller pretty much overnight. Not only in religious circles, but even in businesses and across the country. Now, some might actually argue over the little theological differences from this guy because he's not necessarily our brand of Christianity, but you can't really argue the raw nerve that it seemed to touch with people that happened to read it. A Purpose-Driven Life. You see, people were craving a sense of purpose, and they still are. We still are. We're still craving a deeper meaning to life. Feeling a sense of lostness or aimlessness due to a lack of felt or identified purpose. This book addressed this expressed need. No matter one's success or economic stature, how much money you had, emptiness and lack of purpose can haunt the busiest of souls. The cry of our heart is often the cry for meaning. What's the meaning of all this? Well, let's keep going with this. The beginning of chapter 15 in Luke's gospel account sets up various stories of Jesus telling about purpose, that same topic, and pretty in dramatic fashion. You see, it starts out like this. Now the tax collectors and sinners, who knows what they were doing, were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. He was also a chief tax collector. We don't really like tax collectors, I guess. And he was wealthy. And he wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he's a short little guy, he could not see over the crowd. Must have been pretty short. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people began to see this and mutter, "He has gone to the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here, and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." You see, Jesus came for that purpose. If you can summarize his whole entire mission statement into one little sentence, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Not to make us better people, make us more moral, make us do right things, make us be better. No, he came to save people that were lost, wandering out on their own. Those folks on the fringe of society, the sinners, the outsiders, those people that were needing a sense of belonging, those are the people Jesus came for. And that's you. And that's me. That's all those people out there right now. Jesus spoke. And we hear this picture of a crowd hungry for meaning, hungry for purpose, hungry for God, thirsty for words that could soothe their exposed nerves. And this energy is palpable as people long for God's healing. And Jesus clearly extends that heart of his, full of compassion for those hearts that feel lost. We're still like that today. Now, people might deny it, but we're all eager, we're all hungry, we're all thirsty, we're all desiring something to fulfill ourselves. Some people might fill it with who knows what. Relationships, jobs, more work, more money, more things, more drugs, more alcohol, more computer use. It's all because we're trying to satisfy that deep yearning for meaning. And we're going to keep on trying because we're never going to get fulfilled until we really quite understand grace. When Jesus comes in the picture. Now, that was one book, A Purpose-Driven Life. There's another one I want to share with you. It's called Messy Spirituality. Spirituality is pretty messy when you think about it. And it's also subtitled God's Annoying Love for Imperfect People by author Michael Yaconelli. And it chronicled during World War II. And this author recounts actions of a group of soldiers and a priest in a rural countryside in France during World War II. And this is straight from the book. During an intense battle, one of the American soldiers was killed. His comrades did not want to leave his body on the battlefield, and they decided to give him a Christian burial. They remembered a church they saw a few miles behind the front lines, whose grounds included a small little cemetery surrounded by a white fence. After receiving permission to take their friend's body to the cemetery, they set out for the church, arriving just before sunset. A priest, his bent over back and frail body betraying his many years, responded to their knocking, his face deeply wrinkled and tan. It was the home also to fierce eyes that flashed wisdom and passion. "Our friend was killed in battle," they blurted out loud, "and we wanted to give him a church burial." Apparently, the priest understood what they were asking, even though they were speaking English in France, and they said, "I'm sorry, but we can only bury those of the same faith here." Weary after months of war, the soldier simply turned and walked away. But the old priest called after them, "You can bury him outside the fence." Cynical and exhausted, the soldiers dug a grave and buried their friend just outside that fence. And they finished after nightfall. The next morning, the entire unit was ordered to move on, and the group raced back to that little church the next morning for a final goodbye to their friend. When they arrived, they couldn't find the gravesite anymore. Tired and confused, they knocked on the door of the church. They asked this old priest if he knew where they had buried their friend. It was dark last night and we were exhausted, and we must have been disoriented. A smile flashed across the old priest's face. After you left last night, I could not sleep, so I went outside early this morning and moved the fence. This author goes on to write, Jesus did more than move the fence. He tore it down. No wonder why he made people nervous. Fence makers do not like their fences to be torn down. And that's why we believe in messy spirituality. You see, in some ways, we're all outsiders. We're all on the other side of that fence. We're all outsiders drifting in lost worlds, looking for a life filled with purpose. Purpose. And then Jesus demonstrates his annoying love by extending God's grace to outsiders, just like John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, to old priests over in Europe, and even to exhausted soldiers, even to you. The purpose of Jesus' ministry that he showed us living in our world was to usher in his kingdom, the kingdom of God, to seek and to save the lost. And without him, that's what we are, lost. He came to bring in the outsiders, the sinners, to eat with them, to help the blind see, to save us from the wretchedness of a life lived apart from God. You see, Jesus moves fences. Jesus breaks down walls. And Jesus appears to exclude no one. He appears not to be too concerned with the company he keeps. All are welcome to be found. All are welcome to find our place with all others because of God's amazing grace. Indeed, Jesus moves the fence today as often as he needs it to be moved in your life. And with that assurance, we find our energy, our purpose, and that we find that we're saved, not by what we have done right or wrong, but we're saved purely by grace. Undeserved love, without us even knowing it. And then we're created to do the same, to love, to meet those people in our lives, even the outsiders, and move fences. That is what living life on purpose as Easter people is all about. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard your hearts and minds and souls in the one true faith, now until life everlasting. Amen.